So, the main villain of your series is dead and defeated, you're moving your comic in a slightly more ambitious, continuity-driven direction. What do you do immediately afterwards? Bring him back, of course. Yes, as the cover makes very clear, Robotnik's defeat in the last issue is very temporary, and it wouldn't be for another 28 issues until that would change. But the cover here does look very nice. It's certainly a lot darker than most other covers up to this point, and I don't just mean in tone, but in color palette. Robotnik's silhouette actually looks very intimidating here, even if Tails' failure to recognize him in the shadows is rather baffling to me. It makes you curious to know what's on the inside, which is certainly a plus. We open to our first story, The Return, and start off with the good alternate future timeline we were introduced to in both the In Your Face special and Sonic issue 19. Or rather, it has elements of both. It's confusing, and I think the writer sort of crossed wires on whether it was the future or an alternate future timeline, or if they were both the same thing, or bleh. Anyway, Sonic and his family are enjoying a nice day out, no doubt making Sonali shippers squee with delight, before a sudden burst of energy causes Robotnik from the original universe to appear before them. Yes, as it turns out, Eve didn't kill Robotnik, she merely teleported him to an alternate dimension. But before Sonic and Sally can even get over their shock of someone who, in their time, is long gone, a bolt of lightning suddenly transports him away again, to a far-off space station, where what's left of Robo-Robotnik, basically little more than an AI backup of Robotnik's mind now, is waiting. Robotnik, determined not to fail like his alternate future predecessor, demands to be sent back to his timeline to ensure that this future doesn't happen to him. It's a brief scene that, in the context of the greater story, doesn't help with much aside from getting Robotnik back to the main timeline, but it's a very nice nod to continuity of a few other stories, and provides some nice bits of foreshadowing for what will be coming much later down the line, even if I don't think the writers were planning that far ahead. In fact, given what happens after the 50th issue, I know they weren't. We'll get into that when we get there. Back on our Mobius, Sonic and friends are inside one of Robotnik's warehouses, taking advantage of a gap of leadership by unloading and destroying as many SWAT-bot parts as they can. The question of Snively potentially taking up Robotnik's place comes up, but Rotor points out that it really depends on how much information Robotnik trusted Snively with while he was still alive. And it turns out not much, as we see Snively throwing a tantrum and lamenting how Robotnik did in fact keep him in the dark on most of the operations of Robotropolis. In his grief, Snively declares that Sonic has finally won it all, and that very specific phrase triggers Operation Wasteland. An automated recording of Robotnik starts playing, declaring that if he can't have Mobius, then neither will anyone else. All of his SWAT bots and mechanized weapons activate and begin to destroy everything in their path, determined to destroy the entire world. Sonic and friends quickly try to find a way to escape, since even Sonic can't take down an army of this size on his own, even though he kinda did in the past, and God forbid the other Freedom Fighters act as little more than distractions in battle, but they're overwhelmed on all sides. Meanwhile, Snively is being attacked by some SWAT bots, but he is saved by the sudden arrival of Robotnik, who quickly explains that Snively uttered a trigger phrase that set Operation Wasteland into effect. Meanwhile, Sonic and friends have apparently broken away, but are being pursued by a rampaging robot army. Robotnik, much to his chagrin, admits that the only way he's going to stop this madness is by letting Sonic get away, as he can't risk his robots destroying his entire empire along with Sonic. So he deactivates them. But after a quick question from Snively, he decides to rub this fact in Sonic's face, not only letting him and the Freedom Fighters know that he's alive, but also deflating Sonic's ego by making it clear that, if it weren't for him, Sonic and his friends would very much be dead. It's actually a pretty damn menacing scene, and Robotnik is obviously taking a lot of delight in telling Sonic all of this. It's only really marred by the fact that Sonic doesn't really react to much of it. Sure, he tosses some quips at his enemy, but the artwork doesn't really do a good job of showing off any sort of turmoil he might be feeling at the time. But it ends with one hell of a line from Robotnik.
"There has been no gain. There has been no loss. We shall live to fight another day."
The Return is one of those stories that I'm kind of conflicted about. It starts out as one of those stories that I absolutely hate to see in comics, or in any form of media, really. The ones that say the creators are trying to restore the status quo as soon as possible. It returns Robotnik to life, though according to this he didn't really die in the first place, only an issue after his death, and immediately sets to putting things back to the way they were. But its actual presentation is really well done. The nods to past issues are appreciated, if a bit confusing with how fast and loose they play with this whole alternate timeline stuff, a problem that, unfortunately, would be exacerbated in later stories written by Ken Penders, but the setup is still solid, and it has some great moments for Robotnik, well and truly showing that this is a much more serious, much more threatening version of him now, not the more harmless and comedic version we've been seeing up to this point. That final exchange he has with Sonic is just the icing on the cake. I don't consider it one of the best speeches Robotnik has made. He'd be responsible for some truly chilling and unsettling ones later in the comic. But for the time in the comic's history when it came out, it's a great re-establishing moment for the character. The artwork is also pretty good in this story. Barry Grossman's coloring is also really good, and it pops particularly well in this issue. The lighting and shading effects in particular are really well done, especially early in the issue when Robotnik first appears. The pencils for the story are done by Patrick Spaziante, who most are aware did the cover art for the series for a good majority of the issues. His internal artwork is also good, but there are times where it can get a bit lopsided. I mean, look at the massive detail on Snively in most of the panels where he appears, and compare that to some of the later drawings of Sonic in the issue, where it just seems like he's missing a lot of detail. It's an odd sort of paradox. The art definitely isn't bad, but it feels uneven in this issue. We do have a backup story in this issue, and it seems to follow the current trend in having a humorous story to counterbalance the more serious one we got beforehand. It's a basic bedtime story where Sally tells a rambunctious tale, a story of Sir Runs-a-Lot and his squire who wanted to be like him. It's a cute story, a nice little fable, even if Tails doesn't take it to heart. The art is appropriately more cartoonish and simplistic, courtesy of Dave Manick, and the style works well for a humorous detour like this. And speaking of humorous detours, oh boy, have we got one next time. I'll see you all there.